so dynamic, so magnetic, so effervescent, so full of energy and vitality.
Is it Herman?
No.
Is it Sherman?
No.
Is it Eddie? Is it Freddie?
Oh, no, no, no.
Is it Hart? Is it Schaffner? Is it Marx, perhaps?
Oh, you'll never, never guess it. Don't snap your cap.
It's just Miss Judy Garland.
Here's the little gal who's earned a number one priority in your pinup department, both in your barracks wall and in your hire, Judy Garland.
Clang, clang, clang went the trolley. Ding, ding, ding went the bell. Zing, zing, zing went my heartstrings. From the moment I saw him, I fell.
Hey, Judy fans, this is Mindy. Thanks for listening to another episode of Old Time Radio. Next up in our series featuring Judy Garland is her appearance on The Bing Crosby Show. This one aired February 7th, 1951. It's super good. I love it. It's really fun from beginning to end. This is a dating theme where all the songs and interactions are about courtship and dating and, you know, kind of faux flirtatiousness. It's a cute episode, and they sound great. The music in this, I really enjoyed. I think they both sound really, really good in this episode. And to kind of harken back to something I mentioned in another intro, if you've been listening along, is this movie that they're making of Judy's kind of concert years. I think it's supposed to be the last 2 or 3 years of her life. And they cast Renee Zellweger, which I found an odd choice. And it was interesting. Some of you commented on Buck's podcast page, you know, people you thought would be a better fit. So that was interesting to read people's interpretation of who came to mind when you think of somebody who could portray Judy. Renee Zellweger, as I had mentioned before, did not come to mind for me. And completely unrelated to the podcast, I was just scrolling through a website and I saw a picture and I'm like, that's not Judy Garland, but I think that's somebody meant to look like Judy Garland. And it was the first picture released from this movie. It was Renee Zellweger. And if I didn't know that by the actual headline, I would never have guessed that to be her that they had cast. So next time you're online, check that out. Go look up Renee Zellweger as Judy Garland, and that picture will be there. It's her in kind of that 60s glittery, concerty look that Judy had. And it's interesting. It's very surprising to me. So this might be actually a film worth checking out in the next couple of years. I think it's scheduled for 2019. But yeah, interesting that it might not be a complete disaster. So yeah, I just thought that was fun that they're kind of getting interest up for this, kind of releasing little snips and pictures here and there. So go check that out. And again, this is just one of these classic episodes of Bing and Judy being perfectly themselves, which is perfectly entertaining. So in Judy's personal life, she's actually just preparing for these concert years that are being featured in that film coming up. So not a lot of stuff I think was going on other than preparing for that we could really get into. So I'll jump straight to this episode here. Again, dating theme. It was the week before Valentine's Day, so completely appropriate and fun. And with that, I will give you Judy Garland on February 7th, 1951, on The Bing Crosby Show.
For you, proof of mildness with no unpleasant aftertaste.
Chesterfield, Chesterfield always takes first place. That milder, mild tobacco never leaves an aftertaste.
Oh-ho, open a pack and give them a smell.
Then you'll smoke them.
Hiya, hiya. Someone waits for me.
This is Ken Carpenter welcoming you to the Bing Crosby Show for Chesterfield, produced and transcribed in Hollywood with John Scott Trotter and his orchestra, Judd Collins of the Bears, and Bing's guest, Miss Judy Garland. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this being our first broadcast in February, we bring you a leftover from Bing Crosby month, Bing Crosby.
Well, it was Really a great month,
oh,
Ken.
Oh, certainly was. Mm-hmm. All those Mr. Music banners and those Bing Crosby anniversary billboards all over town.
Mm-hmm. Now I have to go all over town and take them down.
Well, that's only fair. You put them up. What's the next big stunt you're going to pull off, Bing?
I don't want this to get out, Ken. I wouldn't want it kicked around, but I'm seriously thinking of greasing up and have someone tow me across the English Channel next spring.
That's a novel idea, but why don't you swim across?
Oh, what's that? Everybody does that. Besides, if I can get Guy Lombardo to tow me, I may break a record. Now, Ken, I think we better rush in our guest, don't you think? I'm sure everybody's waiting for her, folks. Miss Judy Garland.
Very much. Hi, Ken.
Hi, Judy.
Hi, Mr. Music.
Judy, Mr. Music business is all over now.
Oh. Yeah. Well, then I wish you'd come out to my house and take down that banner you put on my roof.
What's your rush, Judy?
I've sold that space to Dr. Scholl's corn pads.
Well, as long as it's for a good cause, okay. Say, let's take a whack at this opening number, shall we?
Is that for a good cause?
Well, it is if you want to get home to dinner tonight. Ready, John? I like my eggs over easy and my coffee black. I like my steak rare and juicy or my money back. I like my tea poured directly from a samovar. But I like you just the way you are.
I like my juice when I waken or I'm so upset. I'm quite a fuss budget for my favorite cigarette. And I go mad when a picture's crooked on the wall. But I like you anyway at all.
Friends know about my idiosyncrasies, peculiarities.
They grin and bear 'em.
I'm telling you all this confidentially because eventually you'll have to share them.
I like the seams in my stockings to be smooth and straight. I like my meat and potatoes on a separate plate.
About a million and one things I'm particular, but I like you just the way you are. I like my sheets and my covers to be tucked in tight. I like your kid brother when you keep him out of sight.
I like my champagne, especially with caviar.
But I like you just the way you are.
I like to peek at the ending when I start a book. I like a boy not afraid to eat the things I cook.
I like a girl who is punctual when I come to call.
But I like you anyway at all. Friends know about my
idiosyncrasies,
peculiarities.
They grin and bear 'em. I'm telling you all this confidentially
because
eventually we'll have to share them. I like your name and address to coincide with mine.
And I am quick to confess that I would like it fine.
About a million and one things I'm particular, but I like you just the way you are.
Very gay. Very, very sprightly, Bing and Judy.
It's a new thing. It's a considerable promise, it seems to me. Thank you, Ken. But what say we make a pitch here for my cigarette and yours, the mild one, Chesterfield?
Friends, for you, proof of mildness with no unpleasant aftertaste. Yes, that's what Chesterfield has for you.
And here's the authority that proves Chesterfields are milder.
Over 1,000 prominent tobacco growers have signed the statement saying, to judge tobacco for its mild smoking qualities, I smell it. If it smells milder, I know it'll smoke milder. That's the standard mildness test. If that tobacco is made into cigarettes, those cigarettes will smell milder and smoke milder. That's why I smoke Chesterfields. And Chesterfields are made of the right combination of the world's best tobaccos.
And you know the way Chesterfield blends those tobaccos, their secret process, means that every Chesterfield will have the right combination of mildness with no unpleasant aftertaste. Yeah, Chesterfields are proved to have no unpleasant aftertaste. We've got the authority for that, too.
It's the country's first and only cigarette taste panel who reported, Chesterfield is the only cigarette in which members of the panel found no unpleasant aftertaste.
There you have the straight facts. That's what Chesterfield has for you, mildness with no unpleasant aftertaste. So get yourself a pack of Chesterfields today. They satisfy. You and your beautiful eyes that tell such beautiful lies. When you start that hocus pocus, boy, things get out of focus. You and the way that you kiss, they'd ought to give you a prize. Baby, you could make a statue come to life just looking at you. You and your beautiful, gee, but they're beautiful. You and your beautiful eyes. They'd ought to give you a prize. Maybe you could make a statue come to life just looking at you. You and your beautiful, gee, but they're beautiful. You and your beautiful
eyes.
That's a nice tune, Bing.
Well, the arrangement's by Stan Kenton out of Dizzy Gillespie.
But, you know, it has a kind of an old-fashioned feeling to it, hasn't it?
Well, yes, I think it has the lyrics. A song like that, you know, could have been popular, really, during the gay 90s. All those were the days. Believe me, Judy, the gay 90s.
Yeah. Well, I'll have to take your word for it. I wasn't around then.
Well, actually, I wasn't either, but no? Hope has told me much about the gay old-fashioned days. Of his boyhood. He tells me that in those days things were nicer. A young man would pedal up to a girl's house on his bicycle. He'd tie his bulldog to the front gate, quickly wax his mustache, press the doorbell with his cane, and he'd be ushered into the parlor where he'd spend a polite evening watching stereopticon slides with his girl.
Well, kids can still watch him. They're running him on television now.
Well, I mean, though, Judy, is that in those days girls were treated differently. They were treated as the fragile, delicate things that they really are.
Why don't you throw away your copy of Little Women and get with it?
Well, I really have been reading the Bronte sisters. We've come a long way since the time when a young man wheeled up to a girl's house on his bike. These days, a young fellow, he doesn't even call up to make a date. He just roars up to a girl's house in his hot rod, leaps up in the front porch, kicks open the front door, gives the girl a quick smack, heads for the refrigerator, grabs himself a sandwich and a Coke, stomps into the living room, plops himself right in front of the television set and says, "Better come get me, baby, while the lights is out."
I take it that you deplore the behavior of present-day teenagers, hmm?
No, Judy, but I wish they'd slow down a little. I'll tell you what we ought to do, Judy. Why don't we do a few little scenes with music to show the kids listening what courtship was like in the old days?
Oh, where we begin?
Well, in the late 1890s. I'm a young man. I've just dropped by your house.
Right.
Good evening, Miss Garland.
Why, Mr. Crosby.
Miss Garland, I just dropped by to ask you to do me a favor.
What is it?
I wonder if you'd ask your mother to ask your father. It would be all right for me to ask my mother to ask my father if I could call on you tomorrow night.
Would you care to come into the parlor, Mr. Crosby?
Well, if it's all right with your folks.
Oh, Mr. Crosby, you're such a gentleman.
I hope you approve.
Of course. A lady appreciates a man who's shy. You're not like that fresh Barney Dean. Now, if Barney were here, he'd try to hug me and hold me tight, and Barney would kiss me and send chills up and down my spine, all the butterflies in my stomach, and leave me tingling and, oh.
Miss Garland.
Yes, Barney.
Barney Dean is a ne'er-do-well.
He did all right that night.
Why, Miss Garland, in all the years I've known you, and we've practically grown up together, I've never heard you talk like this.
Well, I guess it's because I'm a girl. And you know, Mr. Crosby, girls grow up faster than boys.
They do?
Mm-hmm.
You'd think it would take longer with all those detours.
Why, Mr. Crosby, I didn't think you even noticed detours.
Well, Well, I've been planning to sort of get to know you a little better. Miss Garland, would you mind being called by your first name?
I wouldn't even mind being called by your last name.
Oh, that's silly. I could never get used to calling you Mr. Crosby. It's a Gracie Allen line, isn't it? May I call you Judy?
Well, of course, Mr. Crosby. I mean, Harry.
Harry. Oh, that's a pretty name. That's my name.
Oh, Harry.
Yes, Judy.
Did you notice that I just turned out the lamp?
Of course I did.
Well, what are you going to do?
I'm going home. I can take a hint.
But I don't want you to go home, Harry.
Judy, for a long time, there's been something I've wanted to ask you.
What is it?
Well, I have a bicycle built for two, and there's only one rider, and, well, there's an empty seat, and, well...
What is it, Harry?
Well, Judy, I'd like to offer you my seat in marriage. I mean, my hand. What I mean is, well, I just can't say it, but just as soon as I leave here, I'm going to call you on the telephone.
What are you going to say?
Oh, hello, my baby. Hello, my honey. Hello, my ragtime gal. Send me a kiss by wire. Baby, my heart's on fire. If you refuse me, honey, you'll lose me. Then you'll be left alone. Oh, baby, telephone and tell me I'm your own. Hello!
Hello!
Hello there!
Hello, my baby. This is your honey. This is your ragtime gal. Sending a kiss by wire.
Oh, well, baby, my heart's on fire.
I won't refuse you. Don't want to lose you. Then I'd be left alone.
Oh, baby, telephone and tell me I'm your own.
There you are, Judy. In those days, boys were so bashful, they even proposed to their girls by telephone.
Oh, well, we girls didn't mind as long as we hooked you.
Oh, and not long after that, the invention of the automobile changed the American way of life. Young couples weren't confined to sitting in the parlor making goo-goo eyes at each other. They could don their linen dusters and chug along the open road. Now, I'm now a gay blade, let's say, during the early automobile years, and I've come to call on you. Say, Miss Judy, look out the window.
Gee, Willikers, you got an automobile.
Yeah. Didn't you hear the noise when I was coming down the street?
Yeah, but I thought it was Dad's home brew blowing up again.
Isn't my new automobile the cat's pajamas?
Oh, it's a bee's knees.
Hey.
Gee, Harry, it'll be such a thrill to take a drive in your new machine.
Say, won't you feel strange being out without a chaperone?
Oh, don't be so old-fashioned. That chaperone went out with the horse.
Well, I'm glad she finally found someone to go out with.
Hey. Oh, Harry, you're a card.
Oh, I'm the whole deck rowdy down. Well, come on, Judy.
Where are we going?
I thought we might take a ride up to Inspiration Point.
Inspiration Point? That's for spooners.
I know, Judy, but I wanted to be alone with you. I have a very important question to ask.
Question?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if you have the right answer, you'll own half of this car.
Oh, Harry, what's the question?
Have you got $600?
Come away with me, Lucille, in my merry Oldsmobile.
Down the road of life we'll fly, automobubbling, you and I.
And to the church we'll swiftly steal, then our wedding bells will peal.
You can go as far as you like with me
in my merry Oldsmobile. If you want to see a car that's really full of sex appeal,
if you please,
come out riding in my jazzy, snazzy Oldsmobile.
Oh, you kid.
And if I should steal a kiss, please tell me that you won't be flustered.
Don't get too big for your goggles and your linen duster buster.
On the menu of romance, you are my very favorite course.
Oh, skidoo, with that corny line of yours, you really ought to get a horse.
No, it's true. How'd you like this pretty wedding ring?
Well, now, that's a very different thing.
In my merry Oldsmobile.
What a happy pair without a single care.
Merry Oldsmobile.
What a grand machine, the double peachy keen.
Merry Oldsmobile.
Yes, sir. Automobile really stepped up romance in the good old USA, but on rainy days, rainy days, ardent young lovers didn't want to waste all afternoon snapping side curtains on the car, so they hied themselves back to the parlor.
This was Irving Berlin's suggestion. Call me up some rainy afternoon.
I'll arrange for a quiet little spoon.
Think of all the joy and bliss. We can hug and we can talk about the weather.
We can have a quiet little talk. I will see that my mother takes a walk.
Mum's the word when we meet. Be a mason, don't repeat. Angel eyes, are you wise?
Goodbye!
Judy, why don't we move along to about 1930? There'd been a crash in 1929, and romantic couples, most of them couldn't afford cars. So the good old-fashioned custom of sweethearts strolling hand in hand came back into style. Oh, gee, Judy, we sure had a good time at the dance, didn't we?
Yeah.
I don't mind my car being in hock. I think it's kind of fun walking home like this, don't you?
Yeah, but I'm glad it's dark. I wouldn't want people to see me carrying you.
Well, I'm all tired out from dancing.
Remember the first time we ever walked home from a dance together?
Yeah. I kissed you and you slapped my face.
I had to bring you to.
Those were the days. I want to tell you something, Judy.
Oh, gee, but it's great after being out late, walking my baby back home.
Arm in arm over meadow and farm, walking my baby back home. We go along harmonizing a song.
I'm reciting a poem. Owls go by and they give me the eye.
Walking my baby back home. We stop for a while.
She gives me a smile.
I snuggle my head to his chest. We start into pet.
And that's when I guess her very best talcum all over my vest. After I kind of straighten my tie,
I have to borrow his comb.
One kiss, then we continue again. Walking my baby. Walking my baby. Walking my baby back home.
Ah, Judith. That was beautiful.
Bing, don't you think we ought to do a scene now how to, you know, showing present-day couples and how they behave on a date?
I'm game.
Okay.
Of course, I may have to have a shot of Hatter Call to pull through it. But I'll give it a whirl.
Oh, come on.
I think...
You can do it. Now, you're a modern boy.
Yeah.
You phoned me and asked me to go to the movies, and you've come to pick me up.
Okay. Hi, babe. Let's limber up the lipstick, huh?
Oh, clutch me, Cross.
What do we do now?
Well, let's either see a movie or do that again.
Well, let's go to a drive-in movie. We can do both. Let's see what's playing tonight. Here's Born Yesterday. That's a good one. And here's Mr. Music. Oh, we saw that.
At least 20 times.
Here's a new one, Valentino.
Oh, that's about the loves of Rudolph Valentino. You think it'll be too much for you?
Not if I don't gulp my popcorn. Well, come on, Judy. Here we go. We'll go to the movies.
We can't go to the movies. You haven't got a car.
I haven't got a car. Well, look out the window there. I've got a brand new unpaid-for Oldsmobile. What do you think of it, Judy?
I'll tell you. It's hydromatic, just like you.
What do you mean?
Why, the car is shiftless, too.
There's no clutch.
Well, what about me?
Ah, when I park, both hands will be free.
And not for long.
What a body. It's all streamlined.
Thank you.
With a little spare tire behind.
You fresh!
We go hand in glove down the road of love in my merry Oldsmo.
L-O-V-E.
In my merry Oldsmo.
O-U-Q-T.
In our merry Oldsmo.
Thank you, honey. Say, what if we, before we forsake these old tunes, how about you doing one by yourself,
All right, Bing. How about You Made Me Love You?
Oh, my very favorite. That's okay. The one I wanted to hear you say.
Thank you.
do it. I didn't want to do it. You made me want you. And all the time you knew it, I guess you always knew it. You made me happy sometimes. You made me glad. But there were times, dear, you made me feel so bad. You made me cry, 'cause I didn't want to tell you. I didn't want to tell you. I think you're grand. That's true, yes I do, deed I do, you know I do. I can't tell you what I'm feeling. The very mention of your name sends my heart reeling. You know you made me love you. I didn't want to tell you, I didn't want to tell you. I need some love, that's true, yes I do, deed I do, you know I do. Give me, give me, give me, give me what I cry for. You know you've got a brand of kisses that I'd die for. You know.
Certainly fine, Judy.
Oh, thank you, Bing. What do we do now?
Judy, comes now the happy moment when I sell some Chesterfields.
That's funny. I was on Bob Hope's program last week. He was selling Chesterfields, too.
Kid copies everything I do.
But, you know, I enjoyed working with Bob. He has poise and personality.
Mm-hmm, that's right. He's a real poison personality. I know. I don't want to talk to that. We're both working for Chesterfield, and we're both brothers under the cellophane.
Yeah, well, here's your cigarette tray, boy. Get to selling.
All right, folks. We'd like to remind all of you what Chesterfield has for you. Mildness with no unpleasant aftertaste. Now, here's how to prove that. First, make our mildness test.
Buy a pack of Chesterfields. Open them. Enjoy that mild, mellow aroma. Compare it, and you'll find Chesterfields are milder.
As tobacco growers have been saying for years, tobaccos that smell milder smoke milder. You light up a Chesterfield, and you'll see how true that is. Chesterfield smoke milder.
And with that milder smoke from Chesterfield, you get no unpleasant aftertaste. That fact has been confirmed by the country's first and only cigarette taste panel.
Those are the reasons that you'll want to smoke Chesterfield.
They're milder, and it's the only cigarette that has, for you, mildness with no unpleasant aftertaste.
Put to music, it sounds like this.
Chesterfield, Chesterfield always takes first place. That milder, mild tobacco never leaves an aftertaste.
Oh-ho, open a pack and give them a smell.
Then you'll smoke them.
May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
May the good Lord bless and keep you, whether near or far away. May you find that long-awaited golden day today. May your troubles all be small ones, and your fortune 10 times 10. May the good Lord bless and keep you till we meet again. May you walk with sunlight shining and a bluebird in every tree. May there be a silver lining back of every cloud you see.
Every cloud you see, fill your dreams with sweet tomorrows. Never mind what might have been.
May the good Lord bless and keep you till we meet again.
And keep you till we meet.
Till we meet again.
Again.
My thanks now to Judy Garland for joining us this evening.
It was a lot of fun, Bing. Who's going to be with you next week?
Next week, Judy, Miss Dorothy Kirsten, the Metropolitan Opera star, if you don't mind, will be our guest.
Well, I hope you'll put on a necktie.
Don't be silly. I'm going to put on a necktie, a shirt, I'm going to carry a spear and wear a stomacher. Diana. What's a stomacher? Did I say something? It's a tiara, isn't it, around your belly? Nothing wrong with stomach here. Thanks again, Judy. We'll see you soon.
All right, good night, babe.
Good night, folks. See you next week for Chesterfield, the best cigarette for you to smoke.
The Bing Crosby Show, presented by Chesterfield, was produced and transcribed in Hollywood by Bill Morrow and Myrtle McKenzie. Tune in next week and hear Bing and his guest, Miss Dorothy Kirsten. And remember, folks, this is Boy Scout Week, so let's all join the Boy Scouts of America in celebrating their 41st anniversary.